Welcome to the Leon Fontaine Podcast, Senior Pastor of Springs Church and CEO of Miracle Channel. We hope you enjoy today's message.
I want to welcome all the other campuses of Springs Church. Great to have you with us today as we get into God's Word. Praise you, Jesus. Father, today as I speak, I pray that you touch every one of us. That, Father, your Word would become life. That on the inside of each person, you're going to speak to us individually the way we need to hear from you. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. When you go into our universities today and you see what is being taught in the area of psychology and all the different experts that are looking at our society, and they're going, why do we have the beliefs that we have? In America, Canada, Syria, where do beliefs come from, and why do people live the way they are? What's ahead of us as in our future as the human race? And so they study it and they begin to flesh out data and stats. And one of the things I've been reading a lot lately is this absent thing that exists in the human race called belonging. We live in a world where the vast majority of people, and it'll be in this room as well, they struggle with this feeling. I don't feel like I belong here. They'll walk into a church and go, it's not for me. They don't feel like they belong. They feel disconnected, actually, from life. They feel lonely. And they literally are teaching now, many of the New Age teachers who are writing books are saying that you need to just stop grappling with that and recognize that the human experience is lonely, you'll never feel like you belong, and as long as you accept that, you'll do better. But that's not Bible. One of the latest studies on loneliness has been going on for years. This is how they define loneliness. Loneliness is a perceived social isolation. Notice the word perceived. Perceived social isolation. They feel disconnected. They don't feel connected to people, to groups. Doesn't matter where they go, they feel lonely. Loneliness researchers have some new stats. I want to share some of them with you that I just got. And it's stats on dying. What affects our lifespan? What affects how quickly we die? Well, pollution has a 5% effect on your lifespan. Obesity, 20% effect on your lifespan. Excessive drinking, 30% effect on how long you live. Loneliness, 45% effect upon your lifespan. We live in a world that feels so disconnected. They don't belong, and it affects everything in their life. They'll get married and feel connected for about a year or two. Then they do not feel connected, and they begin to think like, you know, I think I made a mistake. I don't feel connected to this person. I don't feel like I belong in this marriage. I feel lonely. I feel isolated. They're not giving me what I need. People feel that way in families, and moms will leave kids and husbands. Husbands will leave kids and moms. People will leave churches. People will leave their careers. They'll leave communities, and when you really talk to them, they don't feel connected. They don't feel like they belong. People make decisions all the time on how they feel about this issue, and they make wrong decisions, and they go from hurt to heartache, from heartache to brutal things in life. They go from disappointment to discouragement until finally they're so cynical on everything in life because they've got this so wrong. Then we've got people who preach this stuff. What do you mean? Well, we've got a lot of people who say, we as Christians, we're just strangers in another land, just passing through this world of woe, praying, Lord, I can't wait till I can get to heaven. That's my home. There's a bit of truth there, but only a bit. Yes, in the Old Testament, In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 to 16, it'll say things like, they were looking, they were strangers, foreigners, looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Knowing that this was, they didn't fit in, they were just passing through. And when you read the Old Testament, it's true. But if you teach that and you embrace that, then we develop this crazy Christian culture of we are the Christians, but we don't belong here. We don't what? Yeah, we don't belong on the planet. We're strangers passing through. We're waiting for Jesus to blow, shout, twinkle, cloud, whatever he's going to do, and just take us up from this world of woe. And so because we teach this stuff now, we've already got this disconnection that the planet already has. When Adam sinned and Eve sinned in the garden, the first thing that happened was this horrible sense of, I don't belong with God anymore. I don't belong on these walks with God. So he hid himself. And God's going, Adam! Yeah? Where are you? I'm naked. I hid myself. He feels guilt. He feels separation. He feels disconnection. And that's the way the human race, and that's the way in this room, born again believers feel all the time. There'll be a bunch of you sitting here right now that'll go, you know, not sure if I belong here. I don't know if I feel connected. I don't know if there's community. We got all these buzzwords to continue to look at issues that we don't understand. And then we make decisions on leaving our marriages, leaving careers, leaving our churches, thinking that, well, you know, I just don't feel like I belong. You know, the connection's gone. You've lost that love and feeling. Oh, love and now it's gone, gone, gone. Whoa, 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 whoa. We listen to movies. And we establish our marriages, our lives, our careers, our friendship circles, our purpose on movies. Have you seen movie writers lately? They ain't living that great a life to be the authors of what your doctrine should be on what life should look like. Gifted men and women, but I would never give them my purpose or my understanding of how to make my marriage better, our church better, the purposes of God better in our lives. We're best off to go to God's word. And yet this teaching still remains that Jesus, come rescue us quickly from this world of woe. And when you begin to go down that path, then who really is going to help this planet? Won't be us. We don't belong. We're strangers passing through. Some of you will sit late at night in your bed and just feel like you don't fit. Something's wrong. My life's not right. And we all have friends and family who take their lives. Now, there can be a multiplicity of reasons for that. But one of the glaring ones is, I'm not connected. I don't belong. I'm lonely. I'm isolated. No one understands me. Some of you have been raised in homes that nurtured that in your life. And if you don't deal with this lie, this mind game, you will destroy your marriage. You will destroy your family. And one of the worst things is you will curse your kids to wander this planet feeling disconnected, lonely, and isolated because of watching mom and dad not know how to engage, not knowing how to connect, not knowing how to walk with love and joy and connection and relationship. There are people today here that if I asked you who you're, do you have some good friends? No. In my grandpa's day, they used to drive home, had a front porch, a rocking chair, a swing. After work, you'd grab some iced tea, sit there, and all your friends would come walking home, and you'd visit and laugh. Now, you drive into your remote-controlled garage. You push the button. You see your neighbor out. So you quickly drive in and push the button even before you turn the car off. And you make sure that door is closing behind you. Whew, I don't have to talk to him. And then you go back into the backyard with a 6-foot solid fence so you can have some downtime. I need some downtime. You're so disconnected, you don't even realize that the fruit of your life is loneliness, isolation. And that's got nothing to do with Christianity. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, that he was leaving his 12 disciples. Here's what he said to them. He said, I've got to go. And all of a sudden you go, what? Have you ever had a friend so close to you, maybe a spouse, that when they passed away and left, it took you years to re-envision your life because it was always together? Maybe you had friends that you hung out with and had the same dream, the same focus, the same future, and then something happens and they walk, and here you are. Well, Jesus was leaving, physically leaving the 12 disciples, and he looks at them and he makes a comment that it's the only time, well, just about, there's only a couple times this word is used in the Bible, and he says this. He says, I will not leave you orphans. Orphans. What's an orphan? An orphan is someone who doesn't have a mom, doesn't have a dad. They both passed away, or as a child, they dropped you off because they didn't feel like they could look after you. Maybe you grew up in foster homes. Maybe you grew up from place to place. We've got people, I've talked to them in our church, who feel so disconnected, never connected to anyone, because they have what I would call an orphan's heart. They don't trust people, they don't feel connected, no matter where they go, they expect to be turfed, they expect to be rejected, they expect to not make it. There's no ability within them to believe for connection. Their marriages will be undisconnected. Even from their own kids, they'll feel disconnected. And when it all happens, they'll think that, yeah, it's what I knew that. I knew that all along. No, you're not knowing the future. Listen to me. You are creating your future with that attitude. You've got to stop. There are marriages here today that you doubt your spouse's love. And I got news for you. They love you more than you love you. That's the issue. Can I say that again? Some of you are struggling in a marriage because your spouse loves you more than you love you. And you can't receive more than what you love. The measurement, the set point on how much love you can receive is set by how much you love you. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love you, if you aren't thankful for where you are and who you are and what God has done, even with all your warts and issues, that if you don't learn to value, love yourself, you cannot, nobody can love you, or they will. Everyone will love you way more than you can accept, feel, measure, or even believe. The issue is not your relationship. The issue is you. And the enemy's greatest temptation is to make you feel like you don't belong. When a marriage, I've counseled marriages for decades as a pastor. You know, working with homes and families and breakups and issues. Man, I'm an expert. I don't have to read a book. I got 30-some years of working with marriages and homes and families and people. People leaving marriages, people leaving churches, people leaving their kids, people leaving stuff, leaving life, taking their own life. People are leaving because they feel disconnected. They feel like they don't belong. And the enemy's greatest trick is to do that to you. Say, well, Leon, you know, I thought it was just me. No, it's not. I remember growing up and being preached. Preachers would come by and they'd talk about strangers in another land, just singing about, take me home, swing low, sweet chariot, coming forth to carry me home. And all this doctrine, if you were raised the same way. And I would literally go to school and feel left out. I feel like I don't belong. I remember going into sports teams and feel like I don't belong. I remember being in church and feeling isolated, I don't belong. Because the enemy uses that to destroy. And there are people here who don't have friendships because you think there's just no good people left anymore. Every time I get a friend, I get hurt. Well, of course you do. Every time you get a friend, you hurt them. You just don't see it. It's a part of friendship. What is? Getting past the hurt. Getting past the stupidness. Trusting somebody, loving them, and then having to get to the next chapter in that relationship takes speaking truth in love, except for all you who bail out. You have to understand that this disconnection that is talked about even in the Old Testament, when you go to Hebrews chapter 13, I'm going to just mention a verse, I got to go really quick. When you go to the heroes of the faith, Samson and Barak and Moses and all these great Old Testament heroes, the Bible says that they were looking for a builder and a city whose maker was God. It says that they were strangers in another land. It says they were foreigners. But let me give you another verse. For some reason, people miss this one. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, the Apostle Paul says it this way. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners. What? You are no longer strangers, foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. You know, I have four wonderful brothers. They all attend this church. They volunteer somewhere. You know, I'll tell you, one of the compliments I feel personally isn't the size of the church, it's the fact my family comes. They know me and they still come. Is whoo, there is a God. But one of my brothers went through a phase, and he'll tell you, where he knew he wasn't a part of our family. He was convinced he was adopted. He was convinced that he didn't fit in like the rest of us, that the rest of us, we kind of saw him as an out. And it's actually in every family. If you have a larger family, you'll find it in every family. Someone will feel like a black sheep. You were the black sheep of the family. You know, and this feeling of isolation. And Jesus is saying here through the Apostle Paul, no longer are you strangers. No longer are you foreigners. Why is this? Because when Jesus died on the cross and the kingdom of God became alive in the hearts of men and women, there's this incredible feeling as I'm here and the earth is my home and I'm going to occupy. When I get to heaven, thank God I'll get to see Jesus and I'm looking forward to heaven. But when I'm down here, when I see a beautiful ocean, my dad made that. When I see a gorgeous mountain, my dad made that. When I hang out with people, I belong. This is the family of God. Some know it, some don't know it, but I'm here with a sense of belonging. I'm here with a sense of love. I'm here with a sense of look what God is doing. Some of you young people, you're going to hit your 50s and 60s, and you're going to look back at your life and you're going to go, dang, why did I act so subdued? Why didn't I just live with passion? Why didn't I play harder, love more, compliment, build more relationships, try more things? Why did I give in to this sense of come on, you Canadians, let's make a decision to live our lives in a way that where God says, hey, you're my child. In Romans chapter 8, it says, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal body. We use it for healing, but it also means make you alive with the life of God. Jesus did not walk around like he didn't belong. Are you kidding me? He took authority over winds and waves and dead people and sickness and disease and demonic interference. He raised up people. The teachings that he made changed the then known world. What is it about us that's going to stop feeling like I'm on the planet and I'm here because God put me here and I'm not going to walk anywhere and feel like I don't belong and I don't fit in and I guess take me home, sweet Jesus. No, we as a church and you as an individual need to make a decision. When you feel disconnected, isolated, when you feel like I don't belong. You need to know it's one of the greatest tricks of the enemy there is. In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and on, it says to be carnally minded is death. What does it mean to be carnally minded? It means to depend upon the wisdom of that secular carnal mind, to try to think your problems through with the latest psychology, psychiatry, or whoever the newest Oprah is on the planet. That they're going to help me understand I'm different. Just don't belong. I'm just lonely. Just don't fit in. Just not for me. Don't understand why. No, everyone feels that way. Everyone has moments of that. We just make decisions that I'm not giving into that kind of thinking. I'm not giving into sitting on the fringe. I'm not giving into, I guess it's as good as it gets. I'm not giving in to this thing. And so I want you to know that God gives you permission to live. Get up and belong. Get up and embrace life. Get up and live with passion. David in the Psalms has a common statement, and I only find it in the Psalms. And we have a hymn written about it. If you remember that old hymn, I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. That comes from the Psalms. Four times David would say things like, I'll read you one of them in 62:5. He says, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. What does that mean? Satan's trying to get you to move out of your marriage, move out of your church, move out of something. Get out of where you're going because you don't belong. You're lonely. Things aren't working out. And as long as you're in the carnal mind's way of thinking, death is ahead of you. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, I can't even look to my own wife for my sense of belonging. She can't look to me for her sense of belonging. I don't have enough. There's not enough in me to give her a continued sense of belonging and importance and et cetera. I mean, I try hard and she tries hard. We love encouraging and one another, but there's no way she can ever. And if I put my sense of belonging on her and she lets me down, I'm going to be attacking her. I'm going to be upset with her. I'm going to be disconnected from her. But if my sense of belonging is because of Jesus and the Spirit of Christ who's on the inside of me, and my sense of belonging, my sense of significance, my sense of it is with him, then I can turn and I can build healthy relationships, healthy friendships, healthy churches. When you feel disconnected, when you feel like you don't belong, when you feel like things aren't going the way I want, you need to be careful because your brain is going in a hostile direction, and the enemy's trying to circle you out, and he's trying to make you quit. He's trying to make you move. He's trying to make you make decisions inside that are going to affect your entire future because of what you believe. I shall not be moved. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says there that when we are flesh-minded, now that just means carnally minded, it says that not only is there going to be like partying and sexual sin and idolatry and sorcery, but he says you're going to have strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, a party spirit. In other words, everyone's got to take a side on something. If you ever wonder if something is going on that someone says is God and you're not sure, all you do is look at the fruit of it. If it's God, it bears fruit, beautiful fruit of love, joy, peace, unity. But if it's not of God, then you will see division, anger, confusion. You'll see heartache. You'll see hurt because the fruit of wrong decisions is that. But the fruit, the Bible says, of the Holy Spirit is a love. You see, folks, there's a love you must believe in. There's a love you must experience, and that is God's love. For you to not experience God's love and to love God is going to limit every relationship you've got. Some of the worst people I've ever met are born-again, spirit-filled people who manipulate to get what they feel they have to get in life, relationships, and people. Gertrude, did he just say that? Yep. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be vainglorious, self-conceited, competitive, challenging, provoking, irritating one another, envying one another, being jealous of one another. The Bible's very clear. And one of the things I wanted to close this session down with today is for you to recognize that Holy Spirit on the inside of you will always bring peace. He'll bring joy. He'll bring a sense of unity. We'll move from strength to strength in your marriage. You'll move from strength to strength in your family. The Bible says generations of your family will just grow stronger and greater, and one generation will teach the next generation. Churches, our church will go from strength to strength as we work together, stay together, pool our talents and our abilities, like it says, so that we can begin to reach out the foundation that is laid around us, and that's been laid for the last 23 years, is a foundation to touch this nation, our teens, to touch emerging generations, to bring the gospel to languages, what's been built by the sacrifice of giving. And so don't let the enemy come in and make you feel like, I don't know if I belong anymore. I think my season is over here. Really? Tell that to your kids. Tell it to your spouse. No, let's make sure that I shall not be moved. Let's make sure that we don't allow the enemy to come in. And I want to challenge you to allow Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, when you read God's word, when you come to worship, here's what I want you to start doing. I want you to give yourself permission to belong. When you walk in these doors, when you drive on this parking lot, you need to go, ah, I belong. When you walk into this church and you go, ah, I belong. Now, your flesh is going to go, no, you don't. This is why. There's a problem over here. Don't allow the whispers, the lies of the evil one to cause you to live from the fringes, to cause you to live from the stands rather than the middle of the exciting game of life. I challenge you, make your marriage rich and beautiful. Well, you don't know what I'm putting up with. Nothing that isn't new to everybody else out there. Now, I know there are marriages that are brutal. I'm not giving them permission to stay there. But God will guide you in that. Just talking about everyday stuff that the enemy tries to circle you out. Walk with joy. Make a decision that wherever you are, you're going to be totally present in the moment. Make sure that if you're going to love, you're going to love with abandon to your family, your spouse. That you're going to get involved and roll up your sleeve with your local church and go, this is a church that is rocking this nation, our city, the world. Let's get involved. Let's no longer, well, you know, stop it. Let's step in. The waters are deep. Waters to swim in, the Bible says. Stop walking up to your knees. Stop walking up to your chest. Get in there and let's go live for God so that when you're old and gray and 120, you're going to look back and go, man, I landed and I'm gonna die, but I've used up everything. I'm exhausted. I got bruises and scratches, but I gave it my best shot. I lived for Christ. I did something for Him. This is what God wants you to do. Otherwise, I promise you, one of the worst times of your life will be the chapter filled with regrets. Whenever that hits you. 50, 60, 70, 80, whatever. Live. Do not allow any more. I'm giving you permission today, this entire church. I'm giving you permission to belong, to feel connected, to choose. This is where I'm going to laugh, love, and pour my... Yeah, but people aren't perfect. I know, neither are you. That's why you fit in. And let's run for God. And I'm telling you, things will change. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There you go, more. No, he's only got two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your strength, all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you will do that with your life, you will continually feel, sense, and know a passion, a connection, a belonging that the world is looking for, and so many Christians as well. Get involved with loving. Serve. Volunteer. I know that's why we got millionaires parking cars and doctors working in nurseries changing little babies' bums. Why? Because this is home. This is not, well, it's my gift. You know, I don't go home and Sally says, Leon, could you take the trash out? And I go, it's not really my gift, Sally. That wouldn't go over real well. Okay. If I came home and said, could you give me a hand, Leon, with supper? And we got company coming. And I just sit in the chair of royalty and go, not my ministry. When we come to church, this is God's. This is our home. We can roll up our sleeves together and say, let's go reach the lost. Let's populate heaven. Get rid of this little stinking feeling the enemy always gets, maybe trained into you, that I don't belong, I don't feel like I belong, I'm disconnected. All your reasons that you always blame everybody else, just dump them. Get rid of the language of excuses and get on board. And let's go do something great for God. Your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids and your great-great-great-grandkids will thank you because you broke that curse of isolation, loneliness, and we just don't belong. Amen? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for every person here. Father, I pray right now that you just drive this message home. Help every one of us to live with this incredible sense of belonging, friendship, reaching out with a great circle of love and knowing that, Lord, it's you that puts that spirit within us. With every head bowed for just a moment, I want to lead you in a powerful prayer. This is for those who aren't sure they're Christians, aren't sure that they're right with God. I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Say, well, why is this prayer so powerful? It's because nobody can get you to serve God. Only you can make that decision. And God will never force himself into your world, your life, your relationships, anywhere, until you choose him. You might say, well, I'm just not sure. None of us are totally sure about everything. It's just, what are you going to put your trust in? Choose him. And he'll be there every day, every moment of your life. But it starts with this prayer. Before I lead everybody in that prayer, if you want to be included, you'd say to me, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Would you just open your eyes and wave at me until I point to your hand? You say, yes, include me, Pastor. Right now, hands up all over the auditorium. Thank you. Others, thank you. Others, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Those right now, thank you over there. Other campuses, there's a pastor at the front. Just wave a hand at him right now. Thank you. Others, give me a quick wave and then put your hand right back down. Thank you. Beautiful. So important. The other campuses of Springs Church, again, I'll give you about a few seconds. I'm going to pray, but I don't want to miss you. This is a moment where eternity hangs in the balance. This decision is the decision for heaven, the decision to let God in, the decision to become a born-again believer, to start over again. He gives you a fresh start. Don't miss this. Let's all pray with these amazing folks who raised their hand. Prayer goes like this. Just say, Dear God, I give you my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me for everything I've done wrong. And Jesus, you become my Lord and Savior. Today, I choose you. I'm following you from today and on. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful, how beautiful that is.
For more information on Leon and his teachings, visit leonfontaine.com.